Hello, and welcome to Mr. Doom, and welcome to another episode of Scary Stories. My name's Chris, and this happened when I was 8 years old. I've never told anyone this story, not my family, not my friends, because for the longest time, I thought no one would believe me. But even now, decades later, I still can't forget those nights. I grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania, in a house my parents rented on the edge of a quiet neighborhood. It wasn't a big house, just 3 bedrooms and a single bathroom, but it felt enormous to me at the time. My bedroom was at the end of the hall, right next to the attic door, and I remember always feeling a little uneasy in that room. At first it was just a feeling, you know, that sense that someone's watching you, even when you're alone. But as time went on, it became something more. It started with the noises. They weren't loud, just faint creaks and whispers, barely audible over the hum of the house settling at night. At first, I thought it was my imagination, or maybe just the wind. But the more I listened, the more I realized the sounds were coming from the same place, my closet. My closet was one of those old-fashioned ones with a single wooden door that never quite closed all the way. It always seemed to have a sliver of darkness visible, no matter how many times I pushed it shut. The noises would start just after I went to bed. I'd lie there in the dark, staring at the ceiling, and hear them. Soft, shuffling movements, like someone shifting their weight inside the closet. I told my parents about it, of course. My mom brushed it off, saying it was probably just the house creaking, and my dad joked that it was the boogeyman coming to tuck me in. Neither of them took me seriously. One night, I decided to prove to myself that it was nothing. I waited until the house was quiet, until I could hear my parents snoring down the hall, and then I turned on my bedside lamp and got out of bed. The closet door was slightly ajar, as always. My heart was pounding as I stepped closer, the floorboards creaking under my bare feet. "Hello?" I whispered, my voice trembling. No answer. I reached out, my hand shaking, and pulled the door open. The closet was empty, just my clothes hanging neatly on their hangers, a few toys scattered on the floor. I let out a breath I hadn't realized I was holding, and closed the door as tightly as I could. For a while, that seemed to work. I started sleeping with my lamp on, and the noises stopped. I thought maybe I'd imagined the whole thing. But then, a few weeks later, it started again. This time, it was louder, more distinct. It wasn't just shuffling anymore. It was breathing. Slow, shallow breaths, just loud enough to hear if I held my own breath and listened closely. I was too scared to open the door again. I started sleeping with my blanket pulled over my head, my back to the closet. I figured if I couldn't see it, it couldn't see me. One night, though, I woke up to something that made my blood run cold. The closet door was open, not just a crack, like it usually was, but wide open, as if someone had pushed it from the inside. I stared at it, frozen in place. The light from my lamp cast long shadows across the room, and for a moment, I thought I saw something move, just a flicker of motion, deep in the darkness of the closet. I wanted to scream, to run to my parents' room, but I couldn't move. I could only lie there, staring into the blackness, until I finally fell asleep out of sheer exhaustion. The next morning, I told my mom what had happened. She sighed and told me I needed to stop reading scary stories before bed. "You're scaring yourself," she said, ruffling my hair. But I wasn't. I knew I wasn't. That night, I decided to stay awake. I turned off my lamp, pulled my blanket up to my chin, and stared at the closet, determined to catch whatever it was that kept opening the door. At first, nothing happened. The house was silent except for the occasional creak of the floorboards and the distant hum of the refrigerator in the kitchen. But then, around midnight, I heard it, the breathing. It was faint at first, barely audible, but it grew louder, more distinct, until it was unmistakable. And then, slowly, the closet door began to creak open. I wanted to run, to scream, but I couldn't move. I could only watch as the door opened wider and wider until it revealed a figure standing in the shadows. It was a man. He was tall and thin, his face pale and gaunt, with dark eyes that seemed to glint in the dim light. He didn't say anything. He just stood there, staring at me. And then he smiled. That was enough to break my paralysis. I bolted out of bed, screaming for my parents. They came running, flipping on the lights, but by the time they got to my room, the closet was empty. I sobbed, trying to tell them what I'd seen, but they didn't believe me. My dad opened the closet, pulling out clothes and toys to show me there was nothing there. But I knew what I'd seen. We moved out of that house a few months later. My dad got a new job in a different city, and we left without ever figuring out what was in that closet. For years, I tried to convince myself it had been a nightmare, a trick of the light. But last month, I visited my old neighborhood and ran into one of the new owners of the house. We got to talking, and I asked them how they liked the place. They hesitated, glancing at their young daughter, who was playing nearby, before lowering their voice. "She's been having trouble sleeping," they said. "Keep saying there's a man in her closet." My name is Claire, and I've never been one to believe in ghost stories or anything supernatural. I was always the skeptic in my group of friends, the one who laughed off creepy stories and rolled my eyes at haunted house tours. But after what happened last fall, I'm not so sure anymore. It was October, and I had just moved into a small rental house in a quiet neighborhood. It was a cozy little place with a picket fence, big windows, and a garden that had been neglected for years. The house wasn't perfect, but I was thrilled to have a space of my own after years of living in apartments. The first few weeks went by uneventfully. I spent my time unpacking, decorating, and settling into my new routine. The neighbors were friendly, the street was quiet, and I loved waking up to the sunlight streaming through the big front windows. But then, one evening, something strange happened. I had just finished dinner and was sitting on the couch, scrolling through my phone, when I felt it, a cold draft. It came out of nowhere, chilling me to the bone. I got up to check the windows, thinking one of them might be open, but they were all closed and locked. I shrugged it off, thinking the house might have some drafts I hadn't noticed before, and went about my evening. Later that night, as I was getting ready for bed, I heard a faint sound, like a soft tapping. It was coming from the front window. I froze, my toothbrush still in my hand, and listened. The tapping came again, steady and deliberate. At first, I thought it might be the wind, or maybe a branch brushing against the glass, but when I peeked through the blinds, my stomach dropped. There was a woman standing outside. She was just a few feet away, staring into the house. She was pale, with dark hair that hung in damp strands around her face, and she was wearing what looked like an old-fashioned white dress, her eyes locked onto mine, and for a moment, I couldn't move. Then she smiled. It wasn't a friendly smile. It was cold, almost predatory. I stumbled back, my heart pounding, and grabbed my phone to call the police. By the time they arrived, the woman was gone. The officers searched the yard and the street but found no sign of her. They told me it was probably just a prank or a neighbor playing a joke. For the next few days, I couldn't stop thinking about her. Every time I passed the front window, I felt a twinge of unease, like she might still be out there, watching. Then, a few nights later, it happened again. I woke up around 2 a.m. to the sound of tapping. This time it was coming from my bedroom window. I didn't want to look, but I couldn't stop myself. Slowly I pulled back the curtain. She was there. Her face was pressed against the glass, her dark eyes staring straight at me. Her smile was wider this time, almost unnatural, and her breath fogged up the window. I screamed and ran out of the room, locking myself in the bathroom. I called the police again, but by the time they arrived, she was gone. The next morning, I decided to do some digging. I went to the library and started looking into the history of the house. It didn't take long to find something. About 20 years ago, a woman named Eleanor had lived there. She was a recluse, rarely seen by her neighbors, and she died under mysterious circumstances. Her body was found in the garden, and though the official cause of death was listed as a heart attack, rumors swirled that she had been different. I didn't know what to believe. but I couldn't shake the feeling that the woman I'd seen was somehow connected to her. That night, I decided to stay awake and see if she would come back. I set up a chair in the living room, facing the front window, and waited. Around 3 a.m., the tapping started again. My heart was pounding as I stood up and walked toward the window. I pulled back the curtain, expecting to see her face, but the yard was empty. Then I heard it, a whisper, so soft I almost didn't catch it. "Let me in." I spun around, but no one was there. The room was empty. "Let me in," the voice came again, this time louder. It was coming from behind me. I turned back to the window, and there she was. She was inside. She stood just a few feet away, her head tilted to the side, that horrible smile still on her face. I stumbled backward, tripping over the coffee table, and scrambled to my feet. "Get out!" I screamed. She didn't move. I grabbed my phone and dialed 911, but before the call connected, she was gone. The police didn't find any signs of forced entry, and they didn't seem to believe me when I told them what had happened. They suggested I might be imagining things, maybe from stress or lack of sleep, but I know what I saw. I moved out of that house a week later. I couldn't stay there, not after what happened. My name is Brian, and this happened during my sophomore year of college. I went to a small university in the Midwest, where most of the dorm buildings were older than my grandparents. They had their charm, I guess. High ceilings, creaky wooden floors, but they also had a certain eeriness to them, especially at night. That year, I was assigned a single room in the oldest dorm on campus. At first, I was thrilled. No roommate meant no one to deal with late-night noise or dirty dishes. The room itself was small, just a bed, a desk, and a wardrobe, but it felt like a little slice of freedom. I moved in at the start of the fall semester, and everything seemed fine for the first few weeks. Classes were busy, the campus was alive with activity, and I was finally settling into a routine. But then, things started to happen. It was subtle at first, just little things I brushed off. I'd wake up in the morning and find my desk chair pulled out, even though I always pushed it in before bed. Or my closet door would be open, even though I distinctly remembered closing it. I figured I was just tired or distracted. College life can do that to you. But one night, about a month into the semester, I woke up suddenly. I wasn't sure what had woken me at first. The room was dark, and everything was quiet, except for the faint hum of the radiator. I was about to roll over and go back to sleep when I noticed something. There was a figure standing at the foot of my bed. My heart leapt into my throat. I blinked, thinking my eyes were playing tricks on me, but it didn't move. It was just standing there, a dark, shadowy figure with no distinct features, silhouetted against the faint glow of the streetlight outside my window. I sat up quickly, fumbling for the light on my nightstand, but as soon as I turned it on, the figure was gone. I told myself it was just a dream, some half-awake hallucination, and eventually managed to fall back asleep. But it happened again, and again. Almost every night, I'd wake up to see the figure standing there, always at the foot of my bed, always still and silent. No matter how quickly I turned on the light, it would vanish the moment the room was illuminated. I started dreading bedtime. I'd stay up late studying in the library or hanging out in the common room, anything to avoid going back to that room. But eventually, I'd have to sleep, and the figure would be there, waiting. I told a few friends about it, hoping they'd have a rational explanation, but most of them just laughed it off. "It's probably just stress," one of them said. "Midterms are coming up. You're probably imagining things." But I wasn't. One night, I decided to stay awake and see what would happen. I sat on my bed with the light on, my back against the wall, staring at the foot of the bed. Hours passed, and nothing happened. Finally, I decided to turn off the light and try to sleep. I don't know how long I was out, but I woke up to the feeling of pressure on my chest. I opened my eyes, and the figure was closer this time. It was leaning over me. I couldn't move. I couldn't scream. I could only stare as the shadow loomed over me, its featureless face inches from mine. And then, just like that, it was gone. The next morning, I couldn't take it anymore. I went to the dorm's resident advisor and told her what had been happening. She gave me a strange look and asked, "What room are you in?" 206, I said. Her face paled. She hesitated for a moment, then said, "There's a story about that room." Apparently, a few years before I arrived, a student had died in my room. His name was Kyle, and he'd been struggling with depression. One night, he'd locked himself in the room and taken his own life. The RA assured me the university had cleaned and renovated the room before reassigning it to students, but the thought of what had happened there sent chills down my spine. That night, I did something I hadn't done in years. I prayed. I asked Kyle, or whatever was in that room, to leave me alone. I told him I was sorry for what had happened to him, that I hoped he'd find peace. For a while, it seemed to work. The figure stopped appearing, and I started sleeping through the night again. But then, about a week later, I woke up to something even worse. My desk chair was pulled out, as usual, but this time, there was something on the desk. A single piece of paper, folded neatly in half. I opened it, my hands shaking, and saw four words scrawled in messy handwriting. "You're in my room." I moved out the next day. To this day, I don't know what I saw or how to explain it. Maybe it was my imagination, or maybe Kyle really was still there, tied to that room. All I know is that I'll never set foot in that dorm again. And sometimes, late at night, I still feel like someone is watching me. My name is Daniel, and this happened about 5 years ago. I was on a work trip to a small coastal town in Maine, a quiet, misty place where the streets seemed to empty after sundown. My company had booked me a room at a quaint little inn called the Briarwood. It was an old building with a lot of charm. Creaky wooden floors, antique furniture, and the faint smell of salt water in the air. I arrived late in the evening, just as the fog rolled in from the harbor. The woman at the front desk, an older lady with kind eyes, handed me a brass key and directed me to room 14 on the second floor. "You'll like this room," she said, though there was a strange hesitation in her voice. "It's cozy." The room was exactly as she described, small but charming. There was a four-poster bed with a heavy quilt, a small desk by the window, and an armchair in the corner. A large mirror hung on the wall opposite the bed, its edges tarnished with age. After a long day of travel, I was looking forward to a good night's sleep. I unpacked a few things, took a quick shower, and climbed into bed. The inn was quiet, except for the occasional creak of the floorboards, or the distant murmur of voices from the lobby. Sometime in the middle of the night, I woke up. At first, I wasn't sure what had woken me. The room was dark, save for the faint glow of the streetlight outside. I lay there for a moment, listening to the silence, when I heard it. Crying. It was soft at first, barely more than a whisper, but it grew louder as I listened. It was the sound of a woman sobbing. Deep, wrenching cries that seemed to echo through the walls. I sat up in bed, my heart pounding. The sound seemed to be coming from the hallway, just outside my door. I glanced at the clock on the nightstand. 3:14 a.m. I got up, walked to the door, and opened it just a crack. The hallway was empty, lit only by a dim sconce at the far end. The crying had stopped. Feeling unsettled but exhausted, I went back to bed and managed to fall asleep. The next night, it happened again. This time, the sobbing started earlier, around midnight. It was louder than before, and it didn't seem to be coming from the hallway. It was inside the room. I turned on the bedside lamp, my eyes scanning the small space. Nothing looked out of place, but the crying continued, muffled yet unmistakable. "Hello?" I called out, my voice shaking. The crying stopped. I got up and checked the room. Behind the curtains, under the bed, even inside the wardrobe. But I found nothing. By now, I was starting to feel genuinely scared. I tried to convince myself it was just the old building playing tricks on me, maybe noises carrying through the pipes or the walls. But deep down, I knew it wasn't that. The next morning, I went down to the lobby and asked the woman at the front desk about the noise. "Do you ever hear crying at night?" I asked, trying to sound casual. She froze, her expression tightening for just a moment before she forced a polite smile. "No, I can't say I have," she said quickly. "It's an old building, probably just the wind." I could tell she was lying, but I didn't press her. That night, I decided to stay awake and see if the crying would start again. I sat in the armchair with the lamp on, a book in my lap, but I couldn't focus. Every creak of the floorboards made me jump. Every whisper of the wind set my nerves on edge. Around 1 a.m., the sobbing began. It was louder than ever, filling the room with a raw, gut-wrenching grief that made my chest tighten. I stood up, the hair on the back of my neck standing on end, and turned toward the mirror. That's when I saw her. There was a woman standing behind me in the reflection, her face pale and tear-streaked, her dark hair hanging limply around her shoulders. She wore an old-fashioned dress, the kind you'd see in black-and-white photographs, and her eyes were wide with sorrow. I spun around, but the room was empty. When I looked back at the mirror, she was gone. I didn't sleep that night. The next morning, I asked the front desk woman directly. "Who's the woman?" I said, my voice firmer than I felt. She hesitated, then sighed. "You're not the first guest to ask about her," she admitted. "Years ago, a young woman named Eleanor stayed in that room. She was waiting for her fiancé, a sailor who never returned from the sea. She took her own life in the room, and ever since then, guests have reported hearing her cries." I felt a chill run down my spine. "I'll move you to another room if you'd like," she offered. I agreed immediately and spent my last night in a different room. But the story doesn't end there. When I got home, I unpacked my suitcase and found something I couldn't explain. Tucked between my clothes was an old, water-stained photograph of a young woman in a white dress. She was standing by the sea, her eyes filled with sadness. Scrawled on the back were three words: "Why didn't you?" To this day, I don't know how the photo got there or what it meant. But sometimes, late at night, I still hear the faint sound of crying, and I wonder if Eleanor is still waiting for someone or something that will never come. My name is Mike, and I've lived in the same small house for almost 5 years. It's in a quiet neighborhood just outside the city. I've always liked the solitude. No loud neighbors, no traffic noise, just me and my routines. But one night changed how I feel about being alone in that house. This happened about 6 months ago, in early summer. I remember the exact date because it was the day after my birthday. I had the day off work, so I spent most of it running errands, catching up on cleaning, and just enjoying the quiet. By the time night rolled around, I was exhausted and ready to relax. It was a little after 9 p.m., and I was sitting on the couch watching TV. I had a couple of windows open to let in the cool breeze, but other than that, the house was locked up. I've always been pretty good about security. Deadbolts, motion sensor lights, the whole deal. At around 10 p.m., I got up to grab a drink from the kitchen. As I walked past the front door, I noticed something odd. The motion sensor light outside had turned on. That wasn't completely unusual. Sometimes a stray cat or a raccoon would set it off. But it still made me pause. I walked over to the window next to the door and peeked outside. The porch was empty. The street was quiet too, with no cars or people in sight. I shrugged it off and went back to the kitchen, chalking it up to an animal or maybe even the wind. I sat back down with my drink and tried to focus on the show I was watching, but something felt off. You know that feeling when you're being watched? It was like that, this weird itch at the back of my neck. I muted the TV and sat there for a minute, listening. At first, I didn't hear anything unusual, just the faint hum of the fridge and the distant sound of a dog barking somewhere in the neighborhood. But then, I heard it, a soft creak coming from the back of the house. I froze, my heart racing. It could have been the house settling, or maybe the wind pushing against the walls. But deep down, I knew it wasn't. It sounded too deliberate, like someone had stepped on a floorboard. I grabbed my phone and walked toward the hallway that led to the bedrooms. The hallway was dark, and I hadn't turned on any lights yet. I stood there for a moment, staring into the darkness, trying to convince myself it was nothing. Then I heard it again. Another creak, closer this time. I turned on the hallway light and called out, "Hello? Is someone there?" My voice sounded braver than I felt. No response. I slowly moved down the hallway, checking each room as I went. The guest room was empty. The bathroom was empty. Finally, I got to my bedroom. The door was open, which was strange because I always kept it closed. I stepped inside, my pulse pounding in my ears. Everything looked normal at first glance. The bed was made, the closet doors were shut, and the window was locked. But as I turned to leave, something caught my eye. The closet door. It wasn't closed all the way. I stared at it, debating whether to open it. Every horror movie I'd ever seen screamed at me to just leave, but I couldn't. I had to know. I reached for the handle, my hand shaking, and pulled the door open. The closet was empty. I let out a shaky breath and laughed at myself. "Get a grip, Mike," I muttered, closing the door and heading back to the living room. I tried to settle back into my spot on the couch, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. I kept glancing at the windows, half expecting to see someone staring back at me. That's when I noticed it. My phone, which I had left on the coffee table, wasn't where I'd left it. I looked around, thinking maybe I'd knocked it onto the floor, but it wasn't there. I checked the couch cushions, the kitchen counter, even the hallway. Nothing. Then I saw it. My phone was sitting on the kitchen table. I hadn't been anywhere near the kitchen table since I got up for my drink. My stomach dropped. Someone had moved it. My hands were shaking as I grabbed the phone and dialed 911. I told the dispatcher I thought someone was in my house and gave her my address. She told me to stay on the line and wait for the officers to arrive. I locked myself in the bathroom, my heart pounding so hard I thought it might explode. Every little sound made me jump. The creak of the pipes, the wind outside, even my own breathing. It felt like an eternity, but it was probably only about 5 minutes before I heard a knock at the front door. "Police!" a voice called out. I cautiously left the bathroom and opened the front door to find two officers standing there. I explained what had happened, and they started searching the house. After about 10 minutes, they came back and told me they hadn't found anyone. No signs of forced entry, no sign of a break-in. One of them suggested that maybe I'd misplaced my phone and imagined the noises because I was tired. I wanted to believe them. I really did. But then, as they were getting ready to leave, one of the officers stopped. "Did you leave this here?" he asked, holding up a piece of paper he'd found on the coffee table. I hadn't noticed it before, but there it was, a single sheet of paper with 4 words scrawled across it in shaky handwriting. "Check your bedroom closet." My blood ran cold. The officers immediately searched the bedroom again, but whoever had been there was gone. The only evidence they found was a faint smudge on the inside of the closet door, like someone had pressed their hand against it. I stayed at a friend's house that night, and I've never felt the same about living alone. I installed a security system the next day, and I double-check every lock before I go to bed. Whoever it was, they haven't come back. At least not that I know of. But sometimes, late at night, I think I hear the floorboards creak, and I can't help but wonder, are they still out there, waiting for the right moment? My name's Ethan, and this happened about 6 months ago when I was traveling for work. My company had sent me to a small town in Oregon for a week, and rather than stay in a hotel, they booked me an Airbnb. It was a cozy-looking place, simple, single-story, and tucked away at the edge of a quiet neighborhood. I arrived late that night after a long drive. It was just past 9 p.m., and the area was eerily quiet. The Airbnb was exactly as the pictures had shown. A tidy little house with a small porch, a driveway, and a few steps leading to the front door. Inside, it was clean and inviting, with a living room, a kitchen, 2 bedrooms, and a single bathroom. I dropped my bag in the master bedroom and did my usual security check. Locked all the windows, double-checked the doors, and even peeked into the closets. I had stayed in too many places where things felt just a little off, so I was cautious by nature. Everything seemed fine, though, so I settled in for the night with my laptop and a microwave dinner I'd picked up on the way. By 10:30, I was already in bed. The day had been long, and I was ready to crash. The neighborhood was so quiet that it almost felt unnatural. I told myself it was just a small town, no traffic, no loud neighbors, but the silence was unnerving. Around midnight, I woke up. I wasn't sure why at first. There wasn't any noise, no loud bang or crash to startle me awake. But something felt wrong. As I lay there, I thought I heard a faint shuffling sound coming from somewhere in the house. It was subtle, almost like fabric brushing against fabric. I strained my ears, holding my breath, trying to pinpoint it. Then it stopped. I told myself it was just the house settling. Old pipes or creaky floors, maybe. I rolled over, pulling the blanket tighter around me, and closed my eyes. But the sound came again. This time, it was more distinct, closer, and definitely coming from inside the house. My heart started to race as I sat up in bed, straining to hear. It sounded like it was coming from below me. I got out of bed, my legs trembling, and tiptoed to the bedroom door. I opened it just enough to peek into the hallway. The living room was bathed in faint moonlight coming through the curtains, and everything looked still. But the sound was clearer now. A soft, rhythmic scraping, like something being dragged across a rough surface. It was definitely coming from below the floor. I realized the house must have a basement. I hadn't noticed any stairs or a door leading down there, but I hadn't been looking for one either. I stood there in the dark hallway, debating what to do. My gut told me to get out of the house, but I didn't want to overreact. Maybe it was an animal or some kind of mechanical issue. Grabbing my phone, I turned on the flashlight and began searching for the basement entrance. Sure enough, in the kitchen, tucked behind a small pantry door, I found a narrow staircase leading down. The door was slightly ajar. My stomach dropped. I hadn't opened this door earlier, and I knew I'd locked all the doors when I arrived. I shone the flashlight down the stairs, but the beam barely penetrated the darkness. "Hello?" I called out, my voice shaky. "Is someone there?" No response. I stood there for a moment, torn between calling the police and convincing myself it was nothing. Then I heard it. A low, guttural sound, almost like breathing. That was enough for me. I slammed the pantry door shut and bolted back to the bedroom. My hands were shaking so badly I could barely grab my things. I stuffed my laptop into my bag, threw on my jacket, and made a beeline for the front door. As I was unlocking it, I froze. The sound of heavy footsteps echoed from the kitchen. I didn't look back. I threw the door open, sprinted to my car, and locked myself inside. My heart was pounding as I fumbled with the keys, starting the engine and peeling out of the driveway. I didn't stop driving until I reached a gas station about 10 miles away. Sitting in the safety of my locked car, I finally called the police and reported what had happened. They took my information and said they'd send someone to check it out. A few hours later, I got a call back. The officer told me the house was empty when they arrived. No signs of forced entry, no one in the basement. But then he paused. "Did you know the basement isn't supposed to be accessible?" he asked. "What do you mean?" I replied. "The owner of the property confirmed that the basement door should have been locked. It's not part of the rental. He didn't even leave a key for it." I felt a chill run down my spine. Someone had been in that house with me, and they knew the layout better than I did. The Airbnb host later called to apologize profusely and offered a full refund. They said they'd be having the locks changed and the basement permanently sealed. I never found out who, or what, was down there that night. My name is Emily, and I've always considered myself a cautious person. I live alone in a small house on the edge of a quiet neighborhood, tucked away from the main road. It's peaceful most of the time, and I've always felt safe here, until one night last fall, when that sense of safety was shattered. It was late October, a chilly Thursday evening. The air had a sharpness to it that hinted at the winter to come. I had just gotten home from work around 7 p.m., and the first thing I did was lock the front door behind me, like I always do. I remember it clearly because it had been one of those long, exhausting days at work. I made myself a cup of tea, threw on some sweats, and settled on the couch with a blanket and my laptop. I wasn't doing anything exciting, just scrolling through emails and catching up on a show in the background. Around 10 p.m., I decided it was time to call it a night. I turned off the TV and walked around the house doing my usual routine, checking the locks on the windows and doors, making sure the porch light was on, and setting my phone on the charger in the bedroom. By 10:30, I was in bed, scrolling through my phone one last time before turning off the lamp. That's when I heard it, a faint knock. At first, I thought I imagined it. It was so soft that it barely registered, like someone tapping on glass with their fingertip. I sat up in bed, straining to listen. The knock came again. This time, I was sure it wasn't in my head. I glanced at the clock, 10:36 p.m. Who would be at my door at this hour? I slid out of bed and grabbed my robe, tying it tightly as I crept toward the front door. My heart was pounding, but I told myself it was probably nothing. Maybe a neighbor who needed help or a package delivery gone wrong. When I got to the door, I hesitated. The knock came again, louder this time. "Who is it?" I called out, trying to keep my voice steady. There was no response. I flipped the porch light switch and looked through the peephole. My stomach dropped. There was no one there. For a moment, I stood frozen, staring through the peephole, convinced I'd see someone step into view. But the porch was empty. I double-checked the lock on the door, making sure it was secure, and turned off the light. "It's just the wind," I muttered to myself, though deep down, I didn't believe it. I started back toward my bedroom, trying to shake off the unease, when I heard a noise from the back of the house. It was faint but distinct. A creaking sound, like someone stepping on the wooden deck outside my sliding glass door. This time, my stomach churned with real fear. The sliding door in the kitchen led to my fenced backyard. No one should have been back there. I tiptoed to the kitchen, careful not to make a sound, and peeked around the corner. The blinds were closed, but I could see the faintest shadow of movement through the small gaps. Someone was out there. I grabbed my phone from the counter and dialed 911, whispering to the dispatcher that someone was on my property. She told me to stay on the line and lock myself in a room until the police arrived. As I backed away from the kitchen, I heard the doorknob jiggle on the back door. My heart felt like it was going to explode. "Stay calm," the dispatcher said in my ear. "Officers are on their way." I ran to the bedroom and locked the door behind me, barricading it with a chair. I could hear the faint sound of footsteps outside, moving along the side of the house. Then came another knock, this time on the bedroom window. I nearly screamed, but clamped my hand over my mouth. The knock wasn't soft or polite. It was deliberate, loud enough to send a clear message. "I know you're in there." The dispatcher kept me talking, her voice calm and steady, but I could barely focus on her words. I was too busy staring at the window, waiting for something, or someone, to appear. The knocking stopped, and for a few minutes, there was silence. It felt like an eternity before I finally heard the sound of sirens approaching. When the officers arrived, they searched the property but didn't find anyone. They reassured me that whoever it was must have been scared off by the sound of the sirens. But as they were leaving, one of the officers shone his flashlight on the kitchen window and froze. There, written in the condensation on the glass, was a single word: "Soon." The officers took photos and assured me they'd patrol the area throughout the night. But the look on their faces told me they didn't have high hopes of catching whoever it was. I spent the next few nights at a friend's house, too afraid to be alone. I installed security cameras and motion lights around the property. But even now, months later, I still feel a sense of unease every time I hear a knock or see condensation on the windows. The police said it was likely a random prowler, someone trying to scare me for fun or looking for an easy target. but I can't shake the feeling that it was something more. The investigation is still open, and the officers check in with me occasionally, but they haven't found any leads. Whoever it was, they haven't come back yet. But I sleep with a baseball bat by my bed now, just in case.